This Thursday, Mitzvah Hashem Yud Iyar, is the yahrzeit of a few big tzaddikim, but notably the yahrzeit of the Kamarna, Isaac from Kamarna. He was a yosam at a very young age, and he was raised primarily by his uncle, the Zidachayver, the Tzvi Hirsch from Zidachayv, that Teres Tzvi, the Sarbeis HaZoyar, for those who are familiar with the Derech of Zidachayv and the greatness and Nister HaTayr of that Teres Tzvi, plus Yogan Aleinu's uncle. At the age of 6, that's when his father passed away. And he writes, we have a lot of very interesting accounts by the Kamarna. Unlike other tzaddikim, we didn't speak much about their lives. The Kamarna was very different in that regard. For example, he writes about himself in the Hakdama to Sefer Zichron Dvarim. Actually, it's his father's Sefer, and he wrote on the Hakdama the following thing. He says, when my father went on his last journey when I was a youngster, I knew and he knew he was going to pass away. Then I cried 7 days and seven nights straight, like a mayon. And when he left me, the pain was so intense, it was like the neshama leaving the guf. And before he left, he told me how I should conduct my life, al derech hatayra, and to learn both the nigla and nister hatayra. I was only 6 years old. But he knew that a fire was burning inside of me to learn Chachmas HaZayar, the Torahs of the Ari, and I would do so quietly, at the age of 6 years old, I would do so quietly. In all the questions which I had in the Liman HaNister, I would bring to my father, and he would answer me, and he gave me over, at that young age, all the Klolim I would need to know for this Chachma. Once we're speaking about this Indian, he writes in Megillah Starim, from the age of 2 years old to 5 years old, I had a great hasagas of Ruach HaKodesh and what was the likes of Nevius. I was able to see from one end of the world to the next, and my uncle, the Zidachayver, he would pay me 2 reinish every week to answer his questions. And I would take that money, I would give it to tzedakah. From the age of 2 to 5. Obviously he was a wonder child. He was a neshama which came down into this world, which is lo ragil. And although his primary Rebbe was his uncle, like we had said before, when his father passed away, he became very close to his uncle, who took him in like a son. Didn't happen right away. At the age of 12 years old, it says that his father, his name was Reb Sender, he appeared to his brother, the Zidachayver, in a dream, and he was calling him to a Beis Din Shalmala. Not to die, but to the Beis Din Shalmala. With a taina on him, that how come he's not being metapa with my son, my only son, that you, your brother leaves the world and he has a son and you don't take care of him? He meant, of course, in learning. And he said that the Teres Tzvi, he promised his brother that he would take him under his wings like a son. And he would fill him up like a kli machzik bracha, both benigla and benister. And at one point, he lived tremendous dachkas. And at an early age, he was a paisik and he was a renowned tzaddik. Not so renowned, he wasn't renowned yet. But those who knew, knew. And his uncle had arranged for him to take a rav in a certain city. It didn't work out and he went back to his poverty. And his uncle came over to me and said to him, I know you probably have tainas on me that I gave you the job and then you got thrown out so quickly and you're back in this impoverished state. He says, don't worry. He says he grabbed his beard, and whenever a tzaddik grabs his beard, it's a very scary moment. Something big is going to happen. He said, I swear by my dikna kadisha that I will not leave this world until I fill you up, like he said, like a kli machzik bracha, and you will be the one who will take my tires and spread it to the entire world. As a young person, we'll get back to a little bit more about his neshama in a moment. So he wrote a sefer at the age of 30 called Asiris Ha'efa on the Medrash Teres Kahanim. And he traveled to the Gedolei Yisrael to get their haskamas. And he came to the Maharam Eish, who was a Talmud Chavar, the Chassam Sefer. And he came to the Beis Medrash between Mincha Ma'ariv, and he approached the Maharam Eish for a haskama, and he looked him up and down. He saw a very young Chassidish Yid. He probably thought he couldn't learn. He's too young to be an accomplished Talmud Chacham. So he kind of ignored the Kamarna. So the Kamarna, he put down the Sefer, like on the table next to the spot of the Maharam Eish, and he left. So later that night, so the Maharam Eish, his grandfather, came to him in a dream. He says, "You saw today there was a young man who came to you for haskama and a sefer, a sirus saifa." He says, "You should know that he's an ish kadosh ma'ayid and be very careful in his kavod. They're watching you very carefully how you deal with this young man." So he woke up and he was very startled, but he didn't know whether or not it was a real dream or not a real dream, and he wasn't so quick to give a haskama. So then he remembered that in the dream he told him, his grandfather had told him that it was a sefer on Taras Kainim, a parish on Taras Kainim, and he thought to himself, "Listen, there's a certain kasha which I had in the sugya, machlekes between the Raivin and the Shah Rishonim, so which I had in the Medrash." So he figured that he would go and take a look in the sefer Asir Sa'ifa to see if he spoke about it. So when he came and he saw the sefer, he saw that there was a fold in the sefer to a certain page, and he opened it up, and there it was, exactly what he was looking for. And he became very, very frightened after that. And he wrote him, he learned the Torah, and he was so inspired from what he had written, and he wrote him a very beautiful haskama. From there he traveled to the Yismach Moshe, who was at the time considered to be one of the, he lived a very long time, and one of the Zakeini Hador, the Yismach Moshe. And when he had come, so the Yismach Moshe wasn't going to fear Tish, and instead his grandson, the Yitav Lev, was making Tish. And Rav Isaacal sat down next to the Yitav Lev, and he turned to him and he says, "No." He says, "Say some tires, say tires." So he said to him, a lashon which the Gemara uses, there's two different versions of the story between the Svarim here. I like this one better. Who knows which one is true? Who knows if there any of them are true? But there's a lashon here. Ah, lashon of the Gemara. So he says, "How can I talk?" He says, "V'chichulda b'makom yirmiya." I don't know if that's exact lashon, but the Gemara has tainas that who was it who went to Chulda for the Nevuah and didn't go to Yirmiya? Yirmiya was Yishai, I don't remember. He says, "What? I'm going to speak. Chulda's going to speak when Yirmiya's here." So he didn't know exactly what he was talking about. But when he went later back to the Yismach Moshe and he told him that the Bavizikal made a comment, "V'chichulda b'makom Yirmiya," he said that he had chills, the Yismach Moshe, and already he had written, somehow he had already written him a haskama. When he heard that he made such a comment, he had the chills, and he says, "How does he know my Sharish Neshama?" Because the Tzaddikim said about the Yismach Moshe that he came from the Neshama of Yirmiya Navi. So Vazikal made that comment, and it says not only after the Haskama, he said he took back the Sefer, and in the Haskama he added the words Ma'asehu Noira, that his actions are Mamish Noira, that he's able to be Oymin on the Neshama of the Tzaddik of the Dor, the Yismach Moshe. So about the greatness of his neshama. So the Zidachoyver, his uncle, he writes, the Kamarna himself writes in the Hakdamah Teheichal Bracha that once when he came in front of the Ateres Svi, his uncle, he made a comment that the Baal Shem Tov is in the world again. At this time in the world, his ability to make Yichudim is even bigger than the first time. That's what he writes. And he says that when I went to the Rav Shitzer, he said the same thing. And when I went to the Rishoner, he said the same thing. But the Baal Shem Tov is in the world again, and he makes bichudim bigger than he did the first time. And he knew that they were talking about me. I was the neshama of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. And he was very mekusha to the Baal Shem Tov. It's very interesting. He writes Lashonas in his sefer, although he never met the Baal Shem Tov. He was a Kli Revi, Kli Shlish, the Kli Revi from the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. But he writes in the sefer as if many Vartlach things which he had, as if like he had heard them from the Baal Shem Tov. He probably did hear them from the Baal Shem Tov, but he considered the Baal Shem Tov to be his Rebbe. Mamash, he talks about him like his Mamash. He's my Rebbe, the Baal Shem Tov. Mayri, the Baal Shem Tov. Mayri, the Baal Shem Tov. I don't know Kamarna the Svarim that well, but it seems like this was something which was ongoing, which him the Baal Shem Tov, is the fact that they came from the same neshama. Two stories about the greatness of the Kamarna. In fact, one of the stories which is brought down about the Kamarna is that once his grandfather was walking with him by a river, and he stopped and he said to him, "I'm going to teach you now how to read a kvittel. And I'm doing it here now because this is the river which Achia Shiloini gave smicha to the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. That was the spot, that was the river." So the world of the Baal Shem Tov and the world of Rav Isaac from Kamarna are very much bekosher with each other.
Baal Shem had smicha? Like real smicha?
Yeah, of course. Start with a certain chassid that once on Purim he became very shikr, and he said to the Rebbe, to the Kamarna, he said, "In this world," he said, I give a few coins to the gabbai, and he puts me on top." Meaning that, you know, if you sponsor like the suda zechveis, so then you can sit next to the Rebbe and you can talk to the Rebbe. He says, "But I know that in the next world," says, "when the Rebbe goes up to the next world, they're going to take him straight to the Gan Eden. But for me, you know where they're going to take me. They're going to take me down there to that place." This is on Purim, and the Rebbe became very serious. The Rebbe said to him, he says, "Even if it's going to cost me my hand, that my hand is going to be burnt, I'm going to reach down, I'm going to pull you out. I'm going to reach down, I'm going to pull you out." It's the relationship between the Rebbe and the Chassid. And he said that this chassid was so much besimcha to hear that from the Rebbe, he got up on the table and he started to dance. He made a rikud on the table to have to hear these words from his Rebbe. "Even if my hand will be burnt, I'm going to stick it down into the Gehenna and I'll pull you out." Achlal, I heard from my Rebbe that what defines a Rebbe as opposed to like a tzaddik or a rabbi or a Rosh Hashiva is that tzaddik is osik and tikkun neshamas. Fixing neshamas. That's the real inyan of a Rebbe. Is to be a Rebbe, you have to know the inyan of how to be mesakin neshamas. In fact, there's a story here that there was a tzaddik who lived, again, we know about the quote-unquote famous tzaddikim, but in the times of the Baal Shem Tov and the Talmidim of the Baal Shem, there were many, many great people who we don't know because they didn't put out Sfarim and they were in Nistarim. And they say that in the Beis Medrash of the Chayza, there were 300 Bali Recha Kodesh, just in the Beis Medrash of the Chayza. 300 Bali Recha Kodesh. So one such tzaddik was a Yid, his name was Reb Shmuel Rosenfeld. And the tzaddikim used to visit him. They used to, whenever they would come and visit this Reb Shmuel Rosenfeld. But many tzaddikim would come visit this tzaddik. So the Kamarna came once to visit him. It was a very big covet to go, to have a tzaddik like that come to the house. So the Kamarna, he started to ask, he was walking around the house and he started to ask very unusual questions to this Reb Shmuel. He said to him, "So who did you buy this house from?" So he says, "Oh, I bought it 40 years ago from a certain guy." So the Kamarna continues to walk and he's going like this and he's saying, "Are you sure it was a guy?" So he says, yeah, of course it was a guy. I remember how he looked." And he says, "Are you sure it was a guy?" So then he starts to wonder, that the Rebbe has him thinking about, was it a guy, was it not a guy? And then he remembers, no, it wasn't a guy. He was a meshumid. He was really a yid. Zuli Yud. Oh, so the Kamas says, oh, I see. Okay. And he says to him, and how long ago did you say that you bought it from him? He said, 40 years ago. 40 years ago. So do you remember when you bought this house from this Meshumet about 40 years ago? So he says, I don't know. It seems like maybe it was around this time. So the Rebbe says, it was today. He says, it was today that you bought the house, and it wasn't a goyim, it was from a yid. And that's all that the Rebbe said. It was today, and it was from this yid. So this Rebbe Shmuel knew that why he had come. He didn't come to talk and learning. He didn't come to talk and chassidus. He came to be misakin this neshama of this yid. 40 years ago, that he was the owner of this house, on this day that he sold it, he's coming to say that this yid was calling him to come here for a tikkun neshama, and he passed through in order to make a tikkun for this yid. It's an unbelievable ma'aseh. I'm saying, you heard before, right, what he said about himself. He says that in the city of Kamarna, there was a tzaddik named Ubi from Sambur. Later on, he moved to that city. And once on Sukkot, he passed, on Erev Sukkot, he was passing through, and he looked at the sukkah of Rav Isaacal, and he saw that the sukkah was in a way which was a real shaila. There was some type of a shlak on top, and in the middle of the sukkah. And he commented to Rav Isaacal that the Panama Eros has a tshuva on this type of a sukkah, and he says that it's puzzle. So he sent a shliach to Rav Isaacal to tell him that, by the way, your sukkah's puzzle and it's Rav sukkah's. So when the Rebbe, when he heard this, he says that he went down on his arm on the table for a few minutes, and he told the shliach the following thing. He said, go back and tell Raburi that's true that the Panama Eros says that in the tshuva, but in the next volume of Panama Eros, he's going to be chayzer on this psak, and he's going to say that it's kosher. He's going to say that it's kosher. Go tell him that. That's what's going to happen. B'kachav, Amamish, you could take a look. In Panama Eros, Rachem Simus HaMachalef, he says that it's pasal. And the Hashmatis and Oschav, he says that it's kosher. And there was a correspondence between Rav Isaacal about this and another sefer from Mahari HaLevi and Chelet Beisim and Kuf Tesvav, where they discussed the Shaila. But he said, he already had known apparently that he had written the tshuva, it just wasn't published yet. So he says, don't worry about it. The Panama Eros is going to come and say that this is kosher. So. Just a couple more stories. So once there was a certain magefa. It was a magefa, Rachman al-Islan, in the city of Valava. And Rav Isaacal was visiting that city. So they gave him an aliyah to the Torah. And when it came time for the Mishabeirach, so he says, you know, you have to pledge something in the Mishabeirach. So he says, I pledge 960 goyim into the Magefa that he pledged. So that no Yidden should die for the Magefa, he pledged 960 goyim that they should. And no Yidden should die, but 960 goyim should die. That's what he pledged. So what happened is that the goyim started to die. And then the head of the city heard that there was a rabbinah who was in town, who he was suspected that he was doing that. So when he heard about Rav Isaacal, what he had done, so he made a redif on him, and he had to flee very quickly from the city because he was throwing the goyim into the oven. Yeah. Another story that the current commander Rebbe said that he had heard from his grandfather, the author of Pri Chaim, said he had a Kabbalah that there were Hasidim who were once traveling to be with the Rebbe for Shabbos Chanukah. And it was a very snowy night. And there was one of the Hasidim, he needed, seems like, to go into the forest to Lasai Tzrachov. And because the weather was getting more intense, They said to him something along the lines of like, okay, we're going to continue traveling, and then you'll meet us in a certain place, and you'll come back on the wagon again. So he continued on, and they didn't wait for him. And accidentally, in the forest, he stepped into a ditch, and he tried pulling himself out, and he started to scream and nobody was able to hear him, and he was falling deeper and deeper into this hole. And he started to say, Vidu in Shema Yisrael. So all of a sudden, the Rebbe appears, the commander appears, and he goes in and he grabs him and he pulls him out of the pit. And not only that, but he's able to, like, he puts him, like, at the head of the road so that when the people are coming along with the wagon, so they say, how'd you get here so quickly? So he didn't say anything. He wanted to want to talk about, you know, this maifis which had happened. When they get to Kamarna, though, so the Rebbe said, he says, next time you have a chaver who goes into the forest, or a chaver leaves, he says, you don't leave a chaver like that. Give the musr. He says, you don't leave a chaver like that. He says, and besides that, you have to be matriach me to come all the way there to pull him out. He says, please, but the next time, don't bother me with it. You know, don't stare my avoda that I have to come and do things like that. He says, wait for your chaver. It's the right thing to do. He said. And one last story. So he would go, the Kamarna, like many Rebbes did, they would go for the summer to different places to be on vacation, but to be Marbitz Torah in other locations. They saw as an opportunities to reach other Yidden. And he went to the city of Sabranitz, which is in Hungary. And there was a certain Balavas there that they would stay by him as well. And when he was leaving, the Kamarna was leaving, after he went all out for the Kamarna and he was mechabed him very much, so he said to him, what can I give you a bracha for? I'd like to give you a bracha. So he said back to the Rebbe, he says, Baruch Hashem, I have all my needs, I have children, I have grandchildren, I have parnasa berevach, and a moli bias, moli richas Hashem. He says, I really can't think of anything other than the fact that when I have to go get water, it's not like today where, you know, turn on the faucet and it's right there. It's a bit of a walk and it's a schlep, so I can use a closer water source. I can take a bracha for that. So he says that the Rebbe went with him into the chatzar, into this man's chatzar, and he took a stick in his hand, and he went ahead and he made like a circle around them, like that. And then he said, dig here. So he started to dig, there was a Mayan. Mayan is now in his chatzar. So the Rebbe paid him the favor right away. So years went by. And of course he was using this, and he forgot about the old days where he had to go out to the river and to schlep water from there. So all of a sudden, you know, as it came one day, and it was dried up. No more water source. So he's wondering what happened to the Avtacha of the Rebbe. He remembered that this was, you know, this came B'derech Neis. So he sent a letter to Kamarna, you know, asking the Rebbe, you know, what happened to the Maifis. So he got a letter back saying the Rebbe had passed away. When he looked at when the water had dried, it was year. It was the yahrzeit of the Rebbe that the water had ceased to flow. It was the yahrzeit of the Rebbe. He passed away. Some very beautiful svarim. He has the sefer called Heichal Bracha, which is a parish ala Taira. And some of the gematrias of the Heichal Bracha, he darshans different ways, very interesting ways of learning. And his gematrias are mamash haflav a fella. He'll take a whole pasuk and he'll darshan, you know, Shmaya Sashem Makrecha Baruch Shem Vachal Vad is the entire pasuk. Like he'll do that on occasion. Mamash Giluim. You see mamash Giluim from his sefer. And there's one also very beautiful sefer called Nesiv Mitzvasecha. It's because in Kamarna they're very heavy on Pnimis HaTorah. The shita by the Kamarnas is to teach young children Kabbalah, not to wait till they get older, but they actually teach young children Kabbalah, like the Kamarna himself. It was this is their derech, is that to learn Kabbalah openly. That was the derech of the Bashem Tov HaKadosh. He didn't want that it should be Chasidus and very little Kabbalah, nor Kabbalah. And Kamarna is open, very open Kabbalah. So in Hesiv and Sivmitz Vasech, at least in the first few prakim or so, it's much lighter. It gets a little bit harder, but he has a certain signon in a certain way. Mamash masikas of his diburim, right? They go straight into the neshama. Always talks about emuna and betacha, and it was the hallmarks of Kamar Chassidus. Even though it was very, very big when it came to maifsim and Kabbalah, but then with a pshuta and tuzin yonim, There's a beautiful, beautiful Mesikas in the Sfarim HaKadosh. Okay, S'chus Yogan Alein Aval Kol Yisrael. What, your ear.